Turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Perhaps we can just, for connection, read from verse 21. And the Lord is saying, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou, and this is the verses I would like to think about, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. I'm going to read another verse in the first epistle of John in the first chapter. And verse 8. First epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word isn't in us. The third portion I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And read, well, I'm sure you know the connection, therefore let us just read verses from 27. And it's the teaching in, to do with the keeping of the Lord's Supper. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. My thoughts this morning is on verse 28. But let a man examine himself. As we come along this morning to remember our Lord Jesus, I guess we've come because, well, we always come. Well, that's good, to be in the habit of gathering together. We were reminded, our brother Mr. Don Hurd reminded us recently, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's a good habit to be in, to assemble ourselves together. It's a good habit to get into, to assemble ourselves together with some exercise. So as we've been recently reminded also that we come, and we come with something to remember, something to give to the Lord. But this verse is a verse that's been drawn to our attention also in the past, but let a man examine himself. And what does it mean? The word examine, by my concordance, tells me it's the same. You remember in Luke chapter 14, the Lord gave the incident of those that were invited to the banquet, and one couldn't come because he had married a wife, and the other couldn't come because he'd done this. And one had bought 5 yoke of oxen, and he said, I go to prove them. He went to examine them. He went to test them. And that's the same word. Let us prove ourselves. Let us test ourselves. Let us examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3 uses the same word. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In that coming day, when our works are going to be tried by the Lord, they're going to be tested, they're going to be tried, they're going to be examined. And I think that gets us into the context of what it means for us as we gather on a Lord's Day morning to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to try ourselves. And I suggest it is to try ourselves so that we might be here and be able to remember the Lord in a worthy manner, in a manner that's acceptable to the Lord. Now, I've read those other two portions. The first, the portion in the first epistle of John, it tells us that if we haven't got any sin, if we say we don't sin, we make God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And my thoughts are, if we examine ourselves before we come of a Lord's Day morning to see if God has anything against us. Now, I know we sing these beautiful hymns. I'm quite sure sometimes we sing them by habit. Some of the thoughts are so profound we sometimes don't even bother to think about them. And yet, has God got anything against us? We pride ourselves, and rightly so, based on the scriptures, that God's forgiven us our sins. The penalty for them have gone. We're going to heaven and we're as sure of being there as if we were there already. It's all based on the acceptance of that once and forever offered sacrifice to the Lord Jesus. But has God got anything against us? You remember that to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said, I've got somewhat against thee. And if we read it, it was only one thing. They'd left their first love. It was a sin. It was what motivated them. Go down further in the chapter and you read of the church to Pergamos, and the Lord said he had a few things against them. And I wonder this morning, as we gather of a Lord's Day morning, has the Lord got anything against us? What about our sins? Have we confessed them as the epistle to John, as John the Apostle says? Have we confessed our sins? Because if we do, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins. We do sin each week. What about our thoughts? The apostle tells us that we should keep our thoughts under control. And, well, that's very difficult to do, isn't it? Our thoughts wander hither and thither and go in all sorts of areas and places that our feet would never take us. And the apostle John, he talks about our tongues. And he says we can control the wild beasts, but our tongue, well, who can control it? And so there's these things in our lives, the things we say, the things we think, the things we do. Has God, the Lord, got anything against us? Or have we come this morning, and before we got here, and through the week, have we confessed our sins? And the Lord has promised to forgive them, and the fellowship and the communion with himself will have been restored. The other passage I read is from the Sermon on the Mount. Has my brother got anything against me? Has the Lord got anything against me as I examine myself in his presence? What about my brother? Has he got anything against me? And I assume the word brother incorporates sisters as well. It's not whether I've got anything against my brother, but whether he's got anything against me. And that makes it very much more careful, isn't it? Because so often my brother has something against me that I mightn't even recognize at times. It makes it so much the more difficult. And I think the inference is, if I've got anything against my brother, that's assumed to have been put right. But what if my brother's got something against me? It's so much more difficult. And so, as we gather of a Lord's Day morning to remember our Lord Jesus, as we've done this morning, we've done it by habit, we've done it because it's what we've always done. And I trust we always will do it. But if we do it with an exercise of heart, has the Lord got anything against us? Has my sins been confessed to him? those thoughts, those words, those acts, the things that we should have done and didn't do, well, that's another list, isn't it? The things that I should have done, and I've always been too busy. I've got all the excuses in the world why I shouldn't have done them. Well, if we confess what we know, and let's face it, there are sins in our lives that we probably never know until we get home to the glory. And so, as we come, let a man examine himself. Let us try ourselves. Let us test ourselves. Let us scrutinize ourselves so that when we come, our Lord might have nothing against us. My brother might have nothing against us. We've put that right. And as we've come then, we've left it. We've left the gift at the altar. We've gone, and even if we were on the way to the meeting and we found out my brother had something against me, I think the teaching is, well, go and square it off with your brother first. And then come along to remember the Lord and worship. And then as we come, so much the better it'll be. We'll be able to do it in a worthy manner. And so I leave those a few thoughts with you to think about, so that as we gather on these occasions, they will indeed prove to be hours, literal hours, of heaven upon earth for us, as we remember the Lord Jesus and worship Him.